there's just a million different situations that are going to arise that I can't give you a script for. But if you just understand the mission of, we're just trying to uplift people through coffee, we're trying to put empathy in action, we're trying to be better together, let that motivate your decision. Hey, what's up, Valor Nation? This is the Valor Coffee Podcast. I'm Ethan. I sat down with the one, the only, the Ross Gordon Walters. We talked about how to create buy-in at your coffee shop. Hey, or business. I'm sure there's some application there. That was a really awesome talk to just reflect on the last 8 or so years and the last 5 years of having employees and what that looks like of being a leader that really cares for your team. And then that care translates to the guests. So it was a really fun conversation. And also want to shout out Clive Coffee using code VALOR5 at checkout. Gets you 5% off on all Eureka and Luca products. So check that out. There's a link down low to help us out. Always a blessing to support our podcast in that way and support Clive, as well as liking, comment, subscribe, all that awesome stuff. Such a gift. So thank you for your support. And we have another fun way. We haven't had coffee to review in a second. I know we'll probably have a lot more after we get back from the Specialty Coffee Association Expo Chicago 2024. But yeah, if you want to send coffee to us, hit us up, email, DM us on Instagram. We'll hit you with the addy to send that to. So we hope you enjoy this show. Thank you as always for listening. Welcome to the Valor Coffee Podcast. We are in a different room today.
Oops.
We're in the foyer, if you would. Would you?
I would say I'm more of a lobby guy. That, I would say that's the foyer.
The vestibule? We don't have a vestibule here because no stairs, but man, I wish we had a vestibule. I would be living in that thing.
One day.
Yeah, man. One day when we get that two-story roastery, because we have so much like cup storage or something. I don't know. Man, one day before we head into SCA tomorrow, super cool. If you're listening to this, that's irrelevant information because that time has already passed. But hey, Ross, I see you looking for a question. I don't have much to say. I'm just excited to dig into this. We also, again, don't have coffee that we are reviewing today. Sorry. What are we brewing up? I think we said Honduras La Unica.
La Unica. Natural process. Natural sun-dried, baby.
Air oxidated. Open bucket concept.
It's a OBC.
OBC. Yeah.
And we brewed on the ground control.
You just said ground control.
I did.
What is that? What are you even talking about?
Ground control is a brewer that we've got here at the roastery. It's new to us. And it's the one that has the glass bottle orb. It's more of an orb.
It's an orb.
On the top, and it's got the metal spiral that goes through. I'm sure you've seen it if you've been around coffee. If you've ever seen coffee, you've seen a ground control.
You know,
that's a joke.
Two things that are always together.
Yeah.
Coffee, ground control.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy the way it works, as far as I can tell, is that you have a normal brew basket, you know, with a paper filter in it, and hot water.
Right.
Or any temp water goes on.
Customizable?
saturates that bed. And then via vacuum, it sucks the extracted coffee up into the orb. Yep. And then, so it does that. And then you can set multiple cycles to where it sends more fresh water onto that already slightly extracted coffee bed. So as opposed to a drip machine where you're just like, it's perpetually going through the coffee. But this brewer combines the full immersion with the paper filter and the vacuum. And you can brew concentrate on it as well. So we're playing around with that. You know, if we get that concentrate dialed in, we might totally do away with cold brew. There is chatter.
But then you still call it cold brew?
In the cafes, you know, I don't know. I don't know what
would
we call it.
Would that be misinformation?
We don't want to intentionally spread misinformation.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun though.
Hey, is there anyone you want to thank for the ground control?
I don't know if he wants us to to throw it out there that it's his.
What?
Yeah.
Well, an anonymous donor brought it in our clutches. So
yeah.
Hey, you know who you are. All right. You know who you are.
Yep.
Man, I'm just excited to be on a hot mic with you, bro.
Yeah, man. It's going to be good.
Are you ready to rip it up?
Yeah. I actually wasn't able to find that question.
Was that a PK? Or were, no, you had something else?
That was
a PKQ, a Peter Pluth question?
Yeah. That was not. That was actually a different one. But
a Nathan Hanna?
No.
Paul Judy?
No.
Colson Rivers?
No.
Okay. Hey, that does wrap up our Q&A segment. I guess we'll just jump into the meat, bro. What do you think? You ready to dive into deep water?
I'm ready.
You ready to go in a little time machine?
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Well, we're going to talk about creating buy-in at your, we'll just say coffee shop.
Sure.
Hey, shout out to everyone that doesn't work in coffee and listens to this. Obviously, it's very coffee curated, but you know, Kyle Dixon, I see you. Other people with other businesses, thanks. And I'm sure there's some general other application, but
yeah, my mom,
Karen. Well, I mean, she basically works in coffee.
I don't know if she still listens. Mom, if you're listening to this, shoot me a text.
Yeah. Hey, shoot me a text too. Make it a group chat. So first 3-4 years, we're army crawling, creating Valor on our own, you know, just the three of us.
Yeah.
Hey, Riley's not here. He's under the weather. All right. Don't ask any more questions.
He has pink eye.
Okay. Maybe that's something he didn't want people to know either.
Oops.
Hey, that's the life of a parent, you know?
Yeah.
Poop gets in places you don't want.
That's for sure the truth.
Hey, I'll fist bump to that, brother.
Been there.
All right, we've been running. Oh, yeah, we're without our host today. So, man, I hope this thing doesn't go too off the rails.
Lost.
3-4 years ago, or first 3-4 years, we didn't have employees. And we are doing events. We're doing pop-ups. And then for 18 months, we're doing a daily coffee shop model pop-up where we are the only employees. So we have a very potent, like pure representation of our brand because we are solely representing it. And now, fast forward 4 or 5 years later, we have like a team of 30. Kind of crazy, right?
It is crazy.
And I know we hired 3 people when we started, and a huge part of that was like, how do you find people that symbiotically want to care for something that's not theirs, but it is beneficial to them in their life and their journey when they move on.
Yep.
And I'm sure you can relate to this. My biggest one of my least favorite things about going to businesses was experiencing that transition of the owner is there, it's exactly how they want it, and then they bring someone on who probably is just not interested in stewarding it at the same level because it's not theirs, and then the whole ethos is diluted. And then you're like, well, I'm not going to go back to this place anymore. But what's cool is we've managed to have a culture of hospitality and high praise for people amidst adding, I mean, at this point, it could have been like 50 people over the last 5 years, which is kind of insane. So we just wanted to share from our experience some of the lessons we've learned in how to symbiotically create buy-in with having a coffee shop or in here too, just a roastery and a business.
Could I just jump in real quick?
Oh, dude, my flow state. Yeah, absolutely.
Where this comes from for me is hearing my mom, Care Bear, K-Bay, Karen Walters, friend of the program. She's been on Was it two episodes or just one?
I'd say twice.
Okay. So she was a part of the team that helped open the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And when she was going through that process, she was talking a lot about translating core values to thousands of new hires. And one of the things she used to say is that in such a huge operation, such as the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, huge sports entertainment facility with thousands of employees, it's a customer service establishment, you know, like you're serving the guests that are coming into the stadium, whether you're a janitor, whether you're taking orders at a food stand, whether you're, would you call them an usher? That shows my, my background. The people that help you to your seats.
Yeah.
No matter what you are a walking representation of the core values of the Arthur Blank family of businesses. So there's these core values that have been developed over time of running Home Depot, of running the Atlanta Falcons, running Atlanta United,
PGA
Superstore, et cetera. And in all of these little moments with all these thousands of people, how are we going to get all of those people to buy into the values and represent the brand and the culture? It's a crazy feat, you know? And she made the point of like, you know, Arthur Blank is like the owner of this, right? But he's going to just be up in the suite eating shrimp cocktail, watching the game, or he's not even going to be there. You know,
he'll be somewhere else.
So it might be somewhere else, might be offsite.
OS.
Or like the boss, just to bring it on a more granular level, is not always going to be there.
Rich McKay. Where is he?
You know.
He's not dealing with the front office stuff as much right
hands
now.
Hands-on anymore. So, yeah. Anyways, but it's that moment where you have to walk out the values, and it can't just be that like your boss is watching or not watching. You know, it has to be about like you truly care for other people at your core, and you are just operating out of that. And so I just remember her talking about that in the process of opening that stadium, and that just like kind of blowing my mind, you know, like with our first hires, you know, we had three owners who are like very present every day at the cafe, and then like three hires, like surely we can pull this one off, you know, if they're over there
one for one
doing that. But that's where it comes from for me, the buy-in.
Well, hey, let's zoom out even further. Do you remember being an employee somewhere?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's question A. Question B, do you remember the difference? Have you with different jobs or the same job, cared and not cared? Or have you only not cared being an employee?
I would say I've cared more than I've not cared. And this, I think that this will speak to one of our points later, but I didn't care because I thought the place that I worked was awesome. I cared because I was opening my own business, or I wanted to one day. And I was like, this is valuable experience for me to gain, you know, like whenever I'm mopping up this mess, I'm like developing, the strength and the work mentality, that dog mentality that I'm going to need one day when I have my own business. So right. That's why I cared, because it was just for me. And I think we'll hit this later, but this is in Simon Sinek's Start With Why, one of my favorite books I've ever read, is really good companies. They achieve greater levels of buy-in by explaining the job as it benefits the employee. Like you should care, or like you should do a good job, just to use very simple language, because that is what's good for you. And how doing a good job might point towards their personal goals.
Yeah.
And then each person doing that in their own way sort of leads to this culture of like, it's cool to care, you know?
Right. Cause you can kind of hear the haters from here being like, you're an owner, you're talking about how to squeeze efficiency and
sure.
care out of your lowest level employees. And we're over here like, maybe I'm sure that's what people are doing out there. But what we're trying to talk about is that symbiosis of finding people that want to learn how to steward a job well so that it will benefit them in the future when they go and do their own thing. Because the reality to our industry specifically is people are not going to be here for a long time.
Yep.
You know, maybe a handful would stick around. You know, we've had Mikey for almost 5 years and a couple people, Lilby and Ariel, on and off for about 4 years. But for the most part, people move on to something else.
Yep.
And so the idea is not to like wring them out and throw out a burnt out employee. But honestly, I mean, something we can't really prove unless by testimony, but we love seeing people end their jobs well here. Mm-hmm. And that's, maybe that's just another episode, but like, that was a thing that I didn't have at pretty much any of my jobs, was like this awkward exit. Like, I guess I'm not coming back to this place. Mm-hmm. This is weird.
You were too good.
Oh yeah. Too good. But creating an environment where it's like, we're so excited to send someone off and be like, man, mm-hmm. you've grown so much in your time here. We've seen you transform from this person to this person in all these amazing ways. Now you go and change the world and whatever you're doing next.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with having high standards for your employees. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with expecting that they operate with efficiency, expecting that they operate at with speed or with, you know, like, and I understand what you're saying about how there's companies where they just view their lowest level employees basically as robots or like as crops,
yep.
where it's like, you know, you need to water them a little bit, you know, pay them, but like really they're just, we need to just get the most possible out of them because money is the driving factor there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we more so view money as like, we want to steward money really well and we want to pay a lot of attention to it. And it totally does, like we do make decisions based off of it, but money is the means by which we accomplish our vision and our mission because we like couldn't do it without money.
Sure.
So,
but the list of priorities is key there.
Right. Yeah. The order of your priorities is totally how you make decisions.
I know we really could spend a lot on like the concept of values alignment mm-hmm. for, and that is like the heart of finding people that care and creating buy-in is having a company that trains and empowers people with values, not policies. Mm. And I've been hitting on that a lot with the team of like, there's just a million different situations that are going to arise that I can't give you a script for. But if you just understand the mission of, we're just trying to uplift people through coffee. We're trying to put empathy in action. We're trying to be better together. We care about details. We care about growth. We care about having fun. It's like, let that motivate your decision. And like, let's just talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying it's not wrong to have high standards.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I was thinking maybe that's a big area that I'm trying to find words for lately in the cafe around like, look, there are minimums, you know, and maybe the goal of Valor is we're trying to like raise the minimum standard, you know, because it, when you look at your like a staff, if you're listening to this, just imagine your staff. And it's like, there are people that perform to a degree that like that you can stay at the job, right?
Yeah.
So you can maintain your job.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are people that require feedback and very direct like training and growth to just be able to retain their job. But there's like a range of you can keep your job, and then there's like I'm excelling and I'm going to be like rewarded for that work.
Yep.
And that's kind of my philosophy lately this year is like, how do I raise that floor of like, it's not just enough to go, hey, welcome,
mm-hmm.
or like, Chelsea, here's your latte.
Yeah,
I'm like, you said their name, you gave them the drink.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You technically greeted them when they came in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what does it look like to care?
Yeah, and you can't just tell that person like, hey, could you use like a higher pitch voice when you do that, or like, hey, you know, it you can't nitpick that.
Right.
Because then you're back to the like policies over values type thing.
Yeah.
But you also can't make someone care. Like that has to come from their own motives and intentions. Like I was saying earlier about the reason I cared at my jobs was because, well, one, I knew that I dropped out of college and that was a really, really big decision for me, you know, telling that to my parents who were willing to pay for college.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Okay, well, I better like really be intentional with my work, mm-hmm. you know, and it just, this is getting personal, but I think that this totally ties in with like unlocking the care in people is also like I was getting married at the time, moving out. And so I wanted to keep my job and like my job allowed me to start my business, you know, mm-hmm. because I didn't take money from the business, obviously. So I think whenever we're interviewing people or onboarding people or just trying to recalibrate someone towards their why of like what makes them get out of bed every day, trying to like examine their life with them of like, hey, what's driving you right now? You know, like if you have kids, like you want your kids to look at you as a man or a woman of integrity and of someone who gives their best and someone who is not lazy, you know, because your kids are going to be catching all of that.
Yeah.
Like they're soaking all of it in for sure. Is it that, or is it that you're trying to start your own business, or is it that you are doing flowers on the side and mm-hmm. like you really, really enjoy that, but you also love this job too? And like, you know, I think that's not manipulating someone and making them care so that you can get dollars out of them. Like you could view it that way. Those people are probably just like gonna see whatever they want to see.
Sure.
But I think we've also seen that in interviews where we kind of ask questions towards that of like, hey, you know, what's driving you? What's going on in your life right now that you're accountable to? And when people don't really have answers for that, one, it shows that like they literally might not have an answer for that. But two, it also shows that they're probably not that self-aware.
Yeah.
Which isn't always like absolutely terrible thing. It doesn't mean they're not getting hired, but it is like, it is good to know. Mm. How do you feel like in interviews, because you're doing that a lot more than me at this stage of our business.
Yeah.
How do you, I feel like that's just the most basic thing you're trying to figure out is like, will this person care?
Yeah.
How do you figure that out in an interview?
Yeah. It's tough, man, because shout out, kind of flashback to our episode with David Bazilia at Sidetrack. I've been thinking about it a lot. He used the word serious, which is like, it just doesn't land off the dome. But then I was just letting that sink in of like, yeah, I guess I am like, I'm really trying to find people that are serious about, frankly, like a kind of silly thing, you know? And that's when I'm going tangential for a second, but when you think about that standards thing, when you have a really wide range, I think that's when it's really easy to point and be like, you're not rewarding anybody for being up here because I can just do this.
Right.
You know, but we'll have to get this in a later episode and years to come, but it's like, how do you reward and make the standard be like, no, it's cool to care. Mm-hmm. And like, we will see that and we will reward that. And we will say like, this is amazing for you and your future.
Yep.
And it's not good enough just to do the stuff, you know? But, David, when he was talking about being serious, that was through like just watching them and having them in the space a lot. And that's such a gift to be able to like, just get time. And I've honestly been, as much as we hire, I've really been trying to slow down as much as I can as far as like, let's just meet up again and talk. Let's just have you come by the space again and just hang out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really trying to feel like in coffee, I'm like, do you like this? That's almost a bigger part of me. I'm like, is this even like exciting to you? Because if maybe you're not all there with like skill set or like people skills, but you really want to, or you really love this idea, I'm like, yeah, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
We'll give you all the tools in the tool belt to do it, you know? But like some questions, I feel like people are a little timid sometimes about saying that they want to have their own coffee shop because they're like applying for a coffee shop.
Conflict of interest.
But I'm always like, no, this is good.
Yeah, sure.
It takes time to have your own thing. It's not like you're like, if you were like signing an LOI on a space the next week, I'd be like, well, hey, let's just see what we could commit to. But if someone's going to like be around for a while and they want to have their own coffee shop, I'm like, this is perfect because you are going to want to figure out what it's like to run a coffee shop. So you're going to be like asking questions. You're going to be curious about the space. You're going to take like greater ownership of the entire space, not just like your little task.
Yeah.
That's always huge. I mean, we asked some silly questions of like their upbringing of like, hey, what have you gone through in life already that maybe shows that you've had to put in a lot of care, whether that's like, a lot of commitment to a sport or a particular discipline or like overcoming adversity or heck, even did you do chores like growing up? Mm-hmm. Have you had everything handed to you or have you had to like earn things along the way in your life? And probably the biggest one for me lately is trying to figure out, I think I got this from David too, but finding that like host personality in someone already. Mm. I mean, like, are you hosting people now in your life?
Yeah.
Because your job is literally people coming in and you're like taking care of them. And you're like taking care of them in very superfluous ways that would be really annoying if you didn't like doing that.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I want to go run water and check on people and like just give them a little extra drip and get the food out of their way. But I mean, I get it for someone who doesn't like that. That sounds like a burden. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just standing here, but you want me to go take
it? They could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if they want water, they'll come ask. And I'm like, no, you're trying to anticipate what they want, you know?
Yeah. We want people who are like fascinated and excited with anticipating people's needs, you know? And it something in our orientation that we talk about is the difference between a servant and a server in how you could have two people that are working as servers, like wait staff at a restaurant, and they would both be in the service industry, right? Like that's their whole job is to serve people. One of them would be a server. One of them would be a servant. So a server is someone who merely goes through the motions of serving a plate of food to someone. You know, they might even check back in and say, how was everything? You know, the type, but they are serving something, but contrasting that with a servant who they could be doing the same motions as the server, like literally serving people, but they take joy in serving other people because it's who they are. Mm-hmm. So someone who is a servant is going to notice things about a guest or make connections that a server would not make. Mm-hmm. Because a server is merely just taking orders and delivering food and bussing tables. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other one is like everything they're doing is flowing out of their joy to serve people.
Yeah.
They just build different.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get into it more in training, but I talk a lot about like where your eyes, because it's so easy. I mean, people that work at coffee shops, we're young. I'm in that group. We're young. We're figuring out our life. We're like figuring out what we want to do in life. And it's just so easy all day to have the eyes in. Yeah. It's just like me, 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 me. It's like, hey, sure, you got a lot of stuff to work on.
Yeah.
But it's such a treat to find people that like they find reprieve and like peace when they can turn their eyes out and look at the people and serve them and be like, how can I make someone else's day awesome? And even people, I mean, I think about like Lilby specifically, even when she's going through like hard things, that's like her, like a form of therapy is to like care for other people. And that like changes the way that you view your own junk, you know, such a gift. Yeah. I mean, just shout out to the whole team because like this whole thing wouldn't work if we constantly have people in the cafe that have such a high degree of ownership and like value on themselves. I mean, that's something too, that's a point of like, They value their work.
Yeah.
Whether it's being seen by us or not, you know, they have such conviction for their own like purpose in life that they will put their all into whatever they're doing, even if it's for three random guys.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's like very disciplined and very powerful.
Yeah. And that's another like main pursuit of an interview is we want to figure out, is this person already living our mission in their life?
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it on the podcast before, but the way to have great levels of buy-in is at that point, they're not even buying into anything.
Yeah.
They're just continuing doing what they were already doing at work with us.
Yeah. I used to say that a lot earlier on about like, we're trying to find all the people at the random jobs that cared way too much about it. And we're trying to like put them together.
Yeah.
And be like, no, you were onto something.
Yeah.
It is cool to really care about this hospitality industry.
Yeah. All the people that were like, had to fight being brought down by all the people around them that were just clocking in, you know, just to get a paycheck or were always moping around and everything. You know, I know those people are going through things and they deserve compassion, but also like they probably have the wrong perspective about work.
Yeah.
And so if you were ever the person at work that felt like you just cared more than everyone, then like, yeah, there's a place for you at Valor. The other side of that, though, is that one thing that could really bring buy-in down is that we hire someone who does care a lot, and they were like the resident tryhard at their last job, and they did do lots of yard work growing up, and they did have all those things, but they can't really communicate to their team members effectively,
mm-hmm.
and then it causes issues internally,
mm-hmm.
and then there starts to be holes in the ship, and then we just sink.
Yeah.
And that's all just a distraction.
Yeah, that's the key word, is eliminating those distractions. And doing that is by building a culture of feedback, right? And that is tricky because there are people that are very like externally gifted with guests.
Right.
And sometimes that comes at a cost of the team, you know, because such a big part of our operation is doing it as a team. And sometimes that does look like picking up the slack so somebody else can like flex and do something. But sometimes if that's constantly being abused, like if you have someone that's really talkative with the guests and really engages, but maybe they're just in a role where they needed to be pulling shots,
yeah,
and they're just not doing it. You're like, this is a good thing happening. How do I step into that? And then a lot of times, because we don't like talking about bad things, we'll just stuff it,
yep.
and be like, well, that's just how that person operates.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to maneuver around that.
Right.
And on the good days, it'll be okay because I can handle it. But maybe if I'm having an off day, it's going to really tick me off. And then I'm just going to go yep. eyes in and just get through the day, hit my minimum standard, clock out.
Yep.
So it's like, how do you take that on? How do you talk to somebody about a beef?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a huge part of it that we've seen being leaders is creating, this is, wow, way easier said than done. But there needs to be a culture that you strive for within your team where people feel heard by each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like if, you know, let's pretend that like we were peers for a second. I know that's super
okay.
weird.
Random.
I'm kidding. But if we had some beef and I didn't like the way that you said something to me or whatever, you know, if I knew that you would hear me, if I brought it up to you, then I would bring it up to you.
Mm.
But I don't think a lot of people feel that way when they're working their barista job. Like, you know, they may be hurt by something, or they may not like the way someone operates, or maybe they speak too harshly and the other person doesn't like that or whatever it is. I would guess that they're probably having a lot of internal dialogue about that and kind of letting it fester.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're probably venting, but actually they're complaining about it to all the people in their circle and maybe to other people on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just one big dumpster fire because the perpetrator doesn't know what they're doing wrong. They're just living their life. And I'm not saying they're not in the wrong. They probably are.
Yeah.
And then the person who, the victim, if you will, is just festering and maybe gossiping too.
Mm.
And then it just like that. You see how this all just takes away from buy-in, because then we're no longer even talking about like what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, you're in survival mode the whole time.
Yeah,
you're like uplift people through coffee. What?
Yeah, you're pulling shots and steaming milk and taking orders at that point. You know.
Yeah.
Well, let me just with that. I never want to just like sit here on this podcast and like, just like we were talking about before we were recording, like just give advice or like say you should try to do this without talking about how we do it, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Not that how we do it is the way, mm-hmm. but we could tell you that like, hey, we're some people that are really, really trying and this is what we're doing. Whether or not it works or not, like ask us in a year. But like on that note of making a safe environment for the team to be able to talk to each other and resolve conflict amongst themselves before it even becomes a big thing.
Yeah.
Like how do you, if somebody's starting a cafe and they're like, yeah, that sounds cool. I want that. Mm-hmm. You know, like what would you tell them to do?
Well, it does all start with you, right? How do you carry yourself? How do you engage in conflict and tension and feedback? Do you give it? Do you receive it? Probably a lot of good internal assessment to start with. But maybe just jump to this scenario that I've had with multiple people where I'm making drinks, they're pulling shots, they get distracted, and I need them to be in there, like do their job more, better.
Need them to go faster.
And there is like the owner aspect of it. I get that I could just like say it and people would be like, yeah. But a lot, what we're talking about is way more like 95% peer-to-peer. How does a peer say something to another peer?
Exactly.
Without like lording authority over them? So I'm not like the best example, but I'll give the same advice because the whole concept is coming to somebody humbly, right? And not believing that you're 100% the right, you know exactly what's going on, and you can't assign motive before you have context. And so assuming the best,
you can't assign motive.
That was a bomb.
Context.
Did you come up with that?
I don't know. Nothing new. But I always will get through the thing unless it's like a big deal. Especially maybe take that example. It's really easy now for me to literally just walk up to those two humans talking and be like, hey bro, sorry. Hey, I'm short on espresso. Could you lock in and just fire off X many shots?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the least big deal to me now. It used to not be.
But hey, let's analyze that because you started, there's nuance to that. And you are finessing, not in a bad way. There's a negative connotation to the finessing word. I don't mean that way. I just mean like you are starting with, you're thinking in your brain, okay, I'm seeing that the operation is going too slow and our tickets are getting red. Make more faster, please. Okay. But whenever you talk to that person, you don't lead with like, you're not going fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
You started with like your need, which was like, hey, I need blank, blank, blank. I need shots.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh gosh, I care about Ethan. He loves me. He's a great guy. He's not a bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy.
I need to get him some shots because I love him.
Sure.
You know, and I love this place. And I'm sure they're not fully thinking through that in that moment. It's subconscious. But I think that that's important that you start with not an accusation to the person, but you start with your need.
Yeah.
And that is a really important skill to develop when you're working on the floor. Is how do you deliver feedback quickly and precisely but also in an effective way that's sure. kind. Because you don't have time to like take that person into the back and say like, hey, I know you might be having a hard day. I can't imagine what's going on at home. Now, maybe we're going a little too slow.
And maybe I needed a little more.
And maybe it's my fault. You know, like you don't have time to do all
maybe
that.
Maybe I am a bad guy.
There's time and place for going in the back and sorting something out, of course, or like, you know, setting up a meeting outside of work or whatever it is. But in that moment, you're just like, boom, I need it.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to feel good about asking for that.
Yeah. And maybe that's a lot of self-doubt you have to fight. It's like, is it okay with this pacing? Like, do I actually need more shots? But nah, this is their job right now. They're just getting a little distracted.
Yeah.
And knowing their heart, be like, this is great. They're doing a great thing. They're talking to somebody. It's not a bad thing. We just got to get our little priorities back in order, mm-hmm. you know? Or maybe they really need to talk. And he's like, hey, can I hop off and talk to this person? I'd be like, sure. Or let me throw this person on.
Yeah.
Fine. It's just engaging in communication. Ooh, wow.
Wow, that was good too.
We have to talk. We got to talk.
Yeah.
And that's huge for any like peer to peer as well, because when you come to someone humbly and you're like, can you help me buy blank, blank, blank? It's like they care about you.
Yep.
And it's very, probably pretty rare that you have like true enemies behind the bar, yep. you know? So it's just like a little whoopsie, but that's an easy one. But okay, so maybe if we like really need to talk, I mean, it's just a greater. Just stretching that out in the back, you know, you're just asking for context of someone's behavior. You're trying to understand where they're coming from. You're trying to understand how that doesn't help with the operation and how you need things. So, say maybe take us out of it. Say there's a problem with two people on the bar and you're a leader and you're hearing about this problem. Do you involve yourself right away? Do you just leave it up to them to decide if they're going to figure it out? And you're like, well, you guys need to act normal. Like say someone went on a date with someone's ex.
Okay.
There you go.
Juicy.
And then they're mad at each other now.
And now they're like sad at work.
Now they're sad at work.
Yeah.
And now they're distracted.
And they're not.
Maybe
they're underperforming.
Maybe they're more towards that minimum.
Right. What do you do?
What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know what the heck I would do. But like, let me just think about it.
You took the ex on a date?
Sometimes people are going to be off their game, you know? And yeah. a conversation in the back's not going to solve it.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Because like, I could say like, oh, I'm going to be superhero leader and like step on bar. You guys go in the back. Just sort this out real quick. Come back 100% fine. Deal? Awesome. No, that's not how the real world works.
It can happen sometimes. Maybe it's not with an ex.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's rarely going to happen in a short enough time for that to be actually helpful.
All right, you guys have 90 seconds. Right. Go back.
It's probably going to be worse because it's like they just talked about it and now they're like, it's even more on their mind. And it's like, you know, but first of all, we're not above sending people home. And that's not just like a, you're underperforming by. It's like a, hey, do you need to take some time to get your mind right?
Hey, probably shouldn't be here.
Do you need to go on a walk? You need to go just a walk around the block, come back, go get some fresh air. If you're a prayer, do you need to pray? You need to write something down, journal?
You scream. I don't scream.
Do you need to go like scroll Instagram for a bit and then you'll be fine?
Do you need to get on your phone?
How's your screen time today? Is it low? You know, like, so there's that. I mean, I think there is time and place for a leader to be a mediator. When it's a really personal issue like that, sometimes that just might be inappropriate. Like, just speaking transparently, if there were like two girls that were beefing on the staff, and then I was like their boss, but I didn't have like that much mileage with them, like getting to know them. I'm not going to like try to be their savior with a work conversation in the back, trying to fix their personal issues. Like, that's just weird.
That sounds weird.
I don't, sometimes you just got to ride it out, man. And then like talk about it after, or like talk about it later. Like, hey, and another thing my mom has taught me with giving feedback is don't assign motive. Like you said, like don't assign motive to someone. Only say the words that are the objective data that you observed. So like in that situation, you could say like, hey, I noticed that you kind of seemed sad today, or like you kind of seemed off. Like, what can I do to help you? You know, and like coming to them from a place of service, mm-hmm. instead of like lording over them that they were underperforming at your company. Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do to help?
There is a really sweet degree of like, if someone really does care about the team, it is always so impressive to me to watch someone go through hard things and still be able to like be awesome at their job.
Yeah.
Because I know that's like really hard and really probably touchy to talk about in the world of like feelings are supreme.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've watched some really strong people on our team go through really hard things, but still, because of how much they love the team, they're like going to do their darndest, you know?
Have you had conversations like that where somebody's going through a really hard thing and they're really like wearing it at work, and you kind of have to have a hard conversation with them of like, hey, I know that's hard, but like, you got to step it up, like, dog.
But we're at work.
Like, you have a job to do. You know, like, there's a time and place for that.
Yeah.
And you probably had that conversation after you help them, and like, you know, you come to them humbly, and you have to have like a good relationship with them. That is such a big underlying thing with having team buy-in, is just having a great relationship with all these people.
Yeah.
Because then they want to be dogs for you.
Yeah.
Cause like they can't do Ethan dirty. Ethan's done this, this, and this, and this for me. Like, I can't do him like that, you know? Mm.
Yeah. That was one of the other points. So we were talking about eliminating distraction, building a culture of feedback. We're talking about hiring people that care. I guess we wrap it all in one, but like just present leadership and being a leader that invests and cares for the team, because there's this concept of like, that's just not going to spontaneously generate this like heart of culture from the team, but it starts with you imparting that to the team, and that kind of like growing between each other. So when we talk about like the mission of Valor is to uplift people through coffee, that doesn't just start with like guests. It's like, how are we uplifting one another at work? How are we like organizing ourselves as a caring, loving team that is putting empathy into action with each other and seeing each other, caring for each other? And then that culture is what kind of emanates. And there's like a multiplying factor when you have it all happening in a team,
yeah,
which is such a gift. And then obviously you can think about the inverse of that, of how precious that is when someone doesn't care about that, you know? And so that's probably all leaders or owners or whatever out there are like, yeah, it really is. And I mean, honestly, if you've ever just worked on a team and you have five people and four really care and one really doesn't care, that has like a supercharged negative effect.
Yeah.
On the whole operation, because the connection between the team is so crucial to how that connects with the guest. And it does start with the leader being around. So I don't know, man, it's kind of like a thing that we've battled with, like having two cafes and a roastery of what's the balance of, you know, empowering and trusting leaders to lead their team,
yep.
because we're not the leader of everybody at this company, but it is a gift to people. I think we're starting to realize this more, to be around, you know, people like us, man. They want to hang out with us. And it's cool. Like if I was working at a coffee shop and I had an option of like, there's a cool young owner and he can be there or he can't be there.
Cool.
I'm talking about really? You. I'm talking about you. I wasn't talking about me. Okay. I was talking about Riley. We're talking about Riley.
Yeah.
I'm like, of course I would want him in the cafe. That sounds like better.
Yep.
You know? And then inversely, I'd probably like,
why is that for you? Just for in your your opinion. Why is that better?
Well, there's like the classic, like, oh, you work harder when the owner's there. And I'm like, well, okay, that's something. That's not entirely true, but I mean, I've seen that over the years be decently legit.
If I could jump in, I remember in previous jobs where when like the visionary was there, I enjoyed working because I was like, we are executing this man's vision right now. And that is awesome. Like, he's passionate about this. He had an idea of what it would be like. And like, he's having a good time and we're doing it together. And like, he values me because he knows that this can't happen without me.
I guess good owner equals good time, bad owner equals bad time. Cause I definitely can relate to an owner being in a space at my Smoothie King job. And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here no more.
Right.
But
you don't want to be around.
I'm like, I don't even want to be around. Yeah. But I would work there by myself as a 16-year-old. I'm like, I'm the king of the castle, baby. I'd like be way more free to talk to people and have fun at work. But I'd get like tight and weird because I know he's like thinking about how fast the smoothie's getting out and like,
right,
did I do it all right? I feel like I'm like getting looked at with a magnifying glass.
Sure.
But I can totally relate to like, you know, working at the marshmallow shop, being with my friends that are also the owners and being like, yeah, we're in this thing together. We're doing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, creating buy-in, I mean, it's such a gift that we can be with everybody and we do have a vision for the space, you know? And what's cool, oh man, I was going to say, you're so gifted at this of being able to like call out that, like, that gifting in people of seeing people, watching them operate, like, I love the way that you did this. That really aligns with what we're going for. Thank you. And I'm like, man, that's probably so sweet to hear.
Yeah.
But why don't you say more nice things to me?
I probably should.
Bring it on.
I probably should, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, dude. Hey, we're cool.
Let me ask you a question. This is going back to what we were talking about with hiring.
Mm.
So you talked about the certain type of person, if that even exists, where they are really, really great with guests and they are good with, you know, the job, like latte art and et cetera, things. But internally, they don't get along with the team as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the inverse of that, right? Where it's like, they're kind of like not killing it with the guests. They're pretty good at the job, you know, but like they're a crowd favorite, like internally, you know, where like everybody loves them just because they, for whatever reason, everyone loves them.
They're probably just a good hang.
No, I mean, like when I say for whatever reason, I don't mean like there's not a reason. I just mean like whatever the team loves about them. They're a good hang. They're a peacemaker, you know.
They could probably do a handstand or something.
They've got like cool sneakers.
Balloon art. They like balloon animals.
They can do like crazy balloon art. And for that reason, the team loves them. Let's say you are interviewing someone. You know, which one would you rather have?
Oh, I didn't even know where you were going with this.
Would you rather have someone that was really good with the team and... not even when I say good with the team, I don't mean like they like push the team and they're like good for the team. I just mean like they're not causing issues. There's that person, or there's like a rock star with the guest, but like they're kind of causing issues with the team.
Dude, frick, man.
Because like technically the answer should always be like team first.
Yeah.
Like nucleus outward.
Right.
But like,
that's what I was saying earlier. See earlier portion of this. I think it's a lot. And I don't know. We've played around with this of like, we're assessing where the team is at. What's the best thing? What's the best hire next for the team? And I don't really know how I feel about that because it's so fluid, honestly. People come, people go. Yeah.
It's true.
Good people, great people.
Meaning, like, you don't want to let someone walk just because like they didn't fit the team at the time.
Maybe they didn't. Yeah, maybe they didn't vibe with a person. Hypothetically, I didn't think they would vibe.
Yeah,
I'm not.
You were guessing, basically.
Honestly, I would just try to find the healthier person, the person who's more subject to feedback. Because
that's a good answer.
Yes, because really good they answer. Both parties have to grow to stick around, you know, and to blossom at Valor. So who do I think has the higher capacity to do that? Like who's maybe the rock star is going to ruffle feathers, but they're so goofy and light that you just have to tell them like, hey, I don't like it when you call me a big dum-dum.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
It's not endearing.
And then they're like, oh, sorry, bro. My bad. And then you're like, yeah. Oh, we're cool.
Sure.
So that's probably my answer.
Can I ask you another hard question?
Yeah.
This is also vanilla. Like maybe a little vanilla, a little off topic, but I think it definitely points to our topic of achieving greater levels of buy-in with your team. But when was the last time somebody gave you feedback? As like top dog, you know, Mr. Big Owner.
Does our exit interview count?
No.
Okay.
It does not count.
Hey, dude, I swear I ask for feedback in the health checks.
No, listen, like where I'm going with that is this phenomenon that has happened or not happened since we opened of like, we're really high feedback culture, which means that like if you are doing something,
I have an answer.
If you're doing something that we feel is getting in your own way or getting in the way of our shared mission, then we will absolutely tell you about it because everybody has blind spots. And then we're always like, and that goes both ways. Like we really are hungry for your feedback as owners and as leaders, yeah. As managers. We need your feedback just as much as you need our feedback.
Yep.
But then I'm like I feel like it doesn't happen that often.
Sure.
It's definitely an imbalance, sure. To say the least.
Well, hey, I think that speaks to a couple things, but maybe creating the right spaces for that, because there's definitely stuff. Because my answer was that off the top of the dome, I really think, I know we're just on a hot mic now. We're talking about the internal operations of our company, but
that's what we do.
Hey, smash subscribe.
Subscribe.
I think Lil B is like the only person that really probably brings me things on a rhythmic basis of like she will see something and then she will say it to me. So maybe we can say 3 months ago when I was like definitely more just all in Dunwoody like I am now. I mentioned like just going to Alpharetta and like I was just kind of like party guy. I'd just show up and be like, what's up? Hey. And then like maybe some stuff was off and I maybe just like fix it myself or let Lil B know. But she was like, hey, I really would appreciate it if you like actually gave feedback and like actually gave vision and direction to the team while you're there, not just like have fun.
Yeah.
Because they need to hear things from you sometimes. About what is off about the flow or the operation or like the music. And I think I made like a comment like, yeah, music kind of whack. So I just like made a joke and I changed it. She's like, don't just make a joke. Like teach them, hey, we play this kind of music because XYZ. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
It was really awesome because it was convicting because I think it's when you're not in, it's easy to not take ownership basically of like, yeah, that's just how it is. And I'll fix the problems when I'm there. And
especially because you have less of a relationship with those people.
Yeah.
So you can't just be like the Smoothie King owner who like just comes in randomly and just starts telling everybody what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
And the people are thinking like, you're not even here, man.
Right. And that might be so, I might be thinking that to such an extreme that I don't intervene or I don't actually provide content.
Sure.
But she gave me a gift that was like, you have my blessing to speak into these people because I do know that you know them. You know, maybe it's not to the degree that I'm typically like comfortable with because the leadership style we've been able to exhibit over the years is like absolute shoulder to shoulder dogs in the trenches vibe, which is what I'm getting to do in Dunwoody. But that was really good for me to hear, which was like, you need to don't just be the fun dad, yeah. like or fun uncle that shows up and has
throws
fun
the kids up, yeah.
And then maybe even just like tells Lil B all the crap to put on base camp of like, hey, make sure they know about the music. It sure. wasn't good. I changed it.
Sure.
So, that was awesome. Thanks, Lil B.
Yeah, I was just wondering that I like never receive feedback. And I'm definitely in a different line of work.
Oh, you're on a team of one right now.
Yeah, kinda. I mean like I
No. You are.
I am part of the roasting operation, you know, and I do work with people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I have received some good feedback. We more so talk about how the operation can be better. Mm-hmm. And there was a really good conversation I had where I was like, you know, is there anything I can be doing better as it relates to this thing we're talking about? And then like, I get some feedback there.
It's less general, like you as a leader, you as a person.
Right.
But when it's, hey, we're trying to improve in this area. Mm-hmm. How can we all improve in this area?
Yeah, because we're constantly growing over here with the volume.
Yeah.
And so the systems have to evolve to accommodate that and to be able to continue to deliver the same product and experience to all these new people that we're working with. That, you know, it has to be at the same level, even though it's bigger.
Yep.
But anyways, I think that about does it. You feel good? Do you have any thoughts left in your brain, or do you just dump them all out on this
brain,
hot mic?
Dude, brain dump on
I'm
the hot
excited
mic.
For SCA.
Hey!
You know what I'm most excited for?
Deep dish pizza.
I'm excited to hang out with the boys. I'm excited for some fellowship.
We finna wrestle,
some
bro.
Brotherly love. It's only dudes going. Sorry.
Sorry.
I mean, we're bringing myself, Ethan, Riley, three owners, and then our head roaster, Sam Smith, not the artist, and then Luke Vineyard.
Production roaster.
Packaging director.
Yeah.
And roaster. So, that'd yeah, I'm sweet. Excited for that.
Excited to put some faces to names, you know, meeting a lot of people that represent brands that we've worked with over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Hopefully we make some good coffee while we're there too. Oh, hey, we got to secure some coffee to bring back for the reviews, man.
That's true.
Hey, if you're going to SCA, if you want us to review your coffee, freaking Reba, one of our new hires, she said she worked at a coffee shop called Five and Hook, and they have a store outside of Chicago in Wheaton.
Wheaton?
Wheaton. And I would like some of their coffee. All
awesome.
Right.
Awesome. Hey, so and if you're... What?
Tyler?
Yeah, I know that we've said on the program to email us if you're going to SCA. And I would like to say to all of you that did email us, thank you. And also, we are going to be meeting up at the Third Wave Water booth. Booth number blankety blank blank.
I think it was 1058.
All right.
Maybe.
Allegedly 1,000.
Finally got around to that misinformation we were trying to.
Yeah,
plug
we finally
in.
Gave our misinformation for the day. At noon on Saturday. Hey, also, we are recording a collab podcast with Chris DeFerio of Keys to the Shop. Keys to the Shop is a coffee podcast
that you all know about.
That he's been doing that for a while, and he's a coffee consultant. He's done some work around Georgia, done work all over, but he's been in the game for much longer than us. And we're going to be recording a podcast, a collab podcast with him at one of our wholesale partners, Prequel Cafe, Prequel Cafe out in Chicago. So they're going to close, you know, when they normally close, and then we'll use their space to record the program.
Hey, this is a good transition time to get used to doing a podcast, not in our normal space.
Yeah. That's what's kind of like a, yeah.
Beta so it's test. To the back room, to the front room, Chicago.
To Chicago.
Yeah.
So
anyways,
I don't want this to end, man. I just love I love it. Yeah. I love a hot mic.
All right. Hey, we love you guys.
Peace.
Peace.